If you enjoy genres like slowcore, post-hardcore, noise rock, math rock, shoegaze, or anything like that, tune into Past Tense 9 p.m. Wednesdays on CFRC. It also airs 9 p.m. Mondays on luradio.ca and 9 p.m. Thursdays on cjlo.com.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Hey, Kingston families, looking for an unforgettable summer adventure for your kids? Look no further than ASSIS Camps right on Queen's University campus. ASSIS Camps offers English and French programming for children ages 4 to 12. Campers participate in crafts, games, experiments, field trips, and activities with special weekly guests. ASSIS staff ensures a safe, packed summer with memories that'll last a lifetime. Spots are filling up fast, so register now at assiscamps.ca.
Hello and good morning, folks, and welcome to your Indie Wake Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Dean.
I'm Megan. Welcome. It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
We're so excited to be here.
We're so happy.
2 hours of music lined up.
We're over the moon. Mm-hmm. We just heard Indigo D'Souza. It's Crying Over Nothing is the second single off of this latest record we have coming down the pipe.
Nice. Yeah, it was great. I have been having a good summer so far. I hope everybody else has been having a good summer so far.
Yeah.
I guess it's not like literally technically summer yet.
No.
But it's starting to feel like it. It's starting to feel like it. There's like festivals and things going on. I love summer. I literally feel like a whole new person in summer.
Yeah.
Cities are so much better in the summer. There's literally just so much more to do because you can be outside comfortably.
The sun is a much cooler color.
Yeah.
And the haze really adds some atmosphere.
Well, you know, no season is perfect, but just, I don't know. We've been in Toronto and there's been festivals. I went to this one, this super duper popular festival.
It's like a night market thing?
No, it was like during the day too. It just goes to like 11 p.m. and it was on Dundas. I gotta say, I feel like they maybe did not organize the layout of the festival perfectly. There was a lot of potential crowd crush happening.
Potential?
Yeah, I mean, like, we did get crushed, but yeah. did we die? No. So it's okay.
There were no fatalities.
That's
it was just
right.
Sort of uncomfy.
But, you know, if you're playing a street festival, maybe, like, set the stages with the performers, like, back on a little side street a little bit, you know? Just having them right in the middle. The street's not that
make
wide.
Make it a streets festival.
Yeah.
Let's pluralize this.
Yeah. See, like, I feel like what they were envisioning is, like, where I grew up in Toronto. We also had a little street festival, but it's, like, not interesting or anywhere exciting.
Naturally.
So every stage would be, like, the one random guy that plays guitar or like someone mm-hmm. doing Irish dancing, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was like
high school bands.
Nine people wanting to watch it. Whereas like this, they got real bands. That doesn't fit. Like
no.
That is just too many people that want to watch. Mm-hmm. I think they just weren't expecting how many people came to this festival too.
Yeah.
Like I literally feel like the entire city was
there. Because there wasn't really anything
was
else going on in town that
no,
day.
There was. It's just, okay, this is something I noticed, but like I, on Saturday, spent the day like biking around and going to these various things, and I was like, wow, a lot of people live in this city. Turns out like 6 million people live in this city. It's actually crazy. Like there's enough going on that every single part of it looks packed, and there's still more people to pack other things. So I was like, wow, this is huge. But anyway, it was fun. It was
nice.
Good. There was some street vendors, people selling Portuguese custard tarts, the best food in the whole world. So, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, go experience the festivals. Kingston also has an amazing festival summer. Like just going and doing things
Skeleton
outside
Park
is the best.
Week or day or whatever that is.
Oh,
fest.
Yeah.
That's got to be coming up soon.
Yeah. And the Busker Fest and all this stuff. And
yeah.
Anyway.
Lots of good. Wolf Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hype. Okay. We're going to keep it rolling. We're gonna
yes,
play
we are.
Some Big Thief.
This is the brand new single from Big Thief. The new record coming out this year is called Double Infinity, which is seven times less than Nonagon Infinity. But, you know, they're working their way up to King Gizzard levels.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to cut them a break there.
Nice. Okay.
Here's Big Thief. The new single is called Incomprehensible.
Photographs. In 2 days it's my birthday and I'll be 33. That doesn't it spirals. Don't get saggy, don't get gray. But the soft and lovely silvers are now falling on my shoulder. My mother and my grandma. Scales that shimmer purple blue. How can beauty that is living be anything but true? So let gravity be my sculptor, the wind do my hair. Let me dance in front of people without a care. Let me be naked alone with nobody there. With mismatched socks and shoes and stuff stuffed in my
to see you sit high. You think maybe through
Folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Ray Spoon's cover of I've Got Friends in Low Places. Before that, we heard Elio with their track Adderall. And right at the top, we heard Big Thief with their brand spanker single that's called Incomprehensible.
Yes, amazing music. We went and saw Clue, yes. The play, which is based on the movie.
Yes, which I gotta say, really, really, I was very much impressed by this. 80 minutes, no intermission, no songs, wasn't a musical. I was pretty happy.
Yeah. I love paying for tickets and saying, I hope this is his shortest possible. Okay. But it was so good. Oh my goodness. It was so cute. If you're planning a trip to Toronto anytime soon, like actually maybe it's already done.
I think there's one more week.
Okay. Well, it was so funny. It was so good. I thought the actors did a great job. They did a lot of physical comedy. They were like falling over a lot.
There's a lot of writhing on the floor.
Yeah. They must have got the world's slipperiest floor for this play because they all did these like very dramatic movements. There was a lot of like they would pretend to shoot at each other and fall over really dramatically, which was good. There's one scene where the cop comes to the door to check on the motorist that has appeared, and the housekeeper has like a really, really good just like running gag about not letting him into the rooms with the dead bodies. And the way he keeps like trying to distract him is so funny. He starts hissing, which is a really good bit. I don't know, they just did a great job. It was so
cute. No, it was a lot of fun. It's like loosely based on like the film Clue.
Know, it was more than loosely based, it was like pretty based on it,
I guess. It was pretty based.
Yeah.
Exactly. But and like they, spoilers, but there's You're like, oh, is it going to be peacock? Is it going to be plum? And they cycle through like every possible permutation of who killed who, which was fun.
Yeah, I thought it would be the kind of play where like every time you see it, they pick just a, like they have like six different endings. But no, I think they do just have one standard ending, but it ties it all together nicely. Like it does a good job. It's very funny. Yeah. I love a funny play.
Yeah, no, it was just a goofy, rollicking good time.
Yeah, 5 stars. I mean, I'm not really a theater critic. I don't see them very often. And I'm always like, that was fun.
Yeah, but, you know, I had fun.
It was fun. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I'm always just like, wow, this person is standing on stage acting out a story for me to enjoy. That's so nice.
What a
treat. Like, literally, I feel like the play could be terrible. And I would be like, wow, there's an actor on stage and they're singing their little heart. Out,
yeah,
like,
they're just giving it their all.
Wow, it was very funny. Yeah. Theater. I don't even have any complaints. Some of the actors were not as good as the other actors, but like, you know,
c'est la vie.
That's life. Not everyone can be so amazing. So, and most of them were amazing.
Yeah, I didn't like Plum is like very much a lech and sort of like a just an unpleasant guy.
Yeah,
I'm a Professor Plum head. He's definitely my go-to when I'm playing the board game. So yeah, that was disappointing.
Well, he also had like no lines.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Sorry, this play is not for you, Professor Plum heads. Cause he just sucks. He doesn't really talk that much.
Yeah. Mustard was great though.
Yeah, Mustard was very funny. And Mr. Green was literally amazing.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But of course.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play some related music, I think.
Yeah.
We've got Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads queued up, which has a new music video.
Yes. Yeah. 50 years after the song came out,
yeah,
roughly.
Yeah, something like that. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
The Talking Heads are old. That's so wild.
Yeah, but there's this music video made by Mike Mills, the same guy who did that Come On, Come On movie with Joaquin Phoenix. This music video has Saoirse Ronan in it, and I'm glad that they didn't go for like Saoirse Ronan's just like an actual like psycho killer. It's just her like going from work, from home to the office and then back over and over and over
and
again,
getting crazier
and getting crazier. I feel like that is much more in the spirit of the song than an actual like American Psycho style bloodbath.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a lot of fun. Saoirse Ronan, I hope one day your daimyo takes you back. Until that day, you know, just keep on keeping on.
Your what? What are you talking about?
She's a Ronin. Like a samurai without without a daimyo.
Okay, so true. Thank you.
But yeah, anyway, here's Talking Heads, folks. Psycho Killer.
I'm tense and nervous and I 600 square feet all to yourself, not for lack of trying to share it with somebody else. Watching the highlights of all your worst nights, pulling the cars off the street after midnight. Now you're all in retrograde. You get by in your way. Days in the dust, leftover wine in a styrofoam cup. Small talking tyrants, right into themselves, dressed to the nines, wishing you some rest. Treading so lightly, sleeping nightly, won't see yourself until you get it all right. Survive in between.
Hello, 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 folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We just heard Watson Moon with their song Sadie. Before that, we heard Ken Yates with Sidewinder. And right at the top, Talking Heads, Psycho Killer.
Yes. Okay. I want to talk about AI briefly. Okay. AI makes me laugh. I know it's like so pervasive now, and there's like no going back or getting rid of it or whatever.
Yeah.
The heck. But
like also like, you know, I feel like the term AI is so like,
yeah,
purposefully so inaccurate, yeah, and like imprecise. That's the word I'm looking for. Imprecise.
It describes so many,
yeah,
different things.
Like, yeah. AI, that's like, you know, folding proteins to develop cancer drugs. That's dope. I'm into that.
Yeah.
AI that is, you know, writing slop for BuzzFeed. Less, yeah, dope.
Yeah. So this is a CBC article by Kevin Maiman that's talking about like AI at universities, which is obviously a huge issue because university is where you go to like learn and develop your mind.
Theoretically?
Well, okay, sorry if you didn't do that, but I did learn at university, and
I'm just like, when I go to university, if I'm paying like $200,000 or whatever, I'm the customer. I want the experience that I'm paying for.
Uh-huh.
And if what I want to do is use AI, I feel like the school should facilitate that.
Yeah, well, that is what they're doing. So,
oh, really?
So basically, this is just like the title is Canadian Universities Grapple with Evaluating Students Amid AI Cheating Fears, which just like, yes, literally, I feel like every single student cheats with AI. Like, I work with high school students who, you know, have like even less of a care about schooling than, yes, university students, but they like literally before they think of anything themselves, they put it in ChatGPT and just see like all of their resumes that I read, like all of their homework, into them directly copying what ChatGPT has told them, and then
terrifying,
they fail their tests, like their written tests. And then they come to me and they're like, Miss, I need help studying. Like, I failed the test. And I'm like, okay, you have not even tried to learn this material whatsoever. Like, literally the other day I was helping a girl with math and she's in like grade 10 and she did not know what the word angle meant. And I was, uh-oh, like, dang, lady, like, of course you're not going to do well on the test. But we got there, you know, we studied. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping
it's
she did well.
Opposite of a devil.
Thank you. But this is an article about how like a lot of universities, like it just actually depends on like the course and professor and department and stuff, but some are returning to doing oral exams, some are returning to doing written essay exams.
Yeah.
But the people they interview in this article act like having to do a written exam is like abusive.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, one just like a teacher describes it as like a fear-based decision to go back to written tests, and other people are like, this is like so time and labor intensive to do written tests and for us to have to mark written tests. And I'm like, we graduated in 2019 and all of my exams were written exams, like written in a book in the like hall all together.
Yeah.
I'm like, in 6 years that's so completely alien that it's like literally a crazy decision to make them write essays in a book by hand in person. Like, this is just like,
yeah,
so out of the realm of possibility that they're like, I don't know, just like the way it's like talking about doing written exams as if they're like this like literally ancient tool, like someone describes, yeah, them as like,
yeah, chiseling the, into a,
yeah,
tablet,
the things we did in the 70s, and I'm like, we went to school in the 2010s and we did handwritten exams. Like, it's not, I don't know. So,
what,
but
you want me to read Faulkner? We did that in the 70s.
Yeah. Also, like, part of the issue is that like a lot of the university students entering now like cannot write, so,
yes,
it actually is kind of labor intensive to mark them because they're like so bad that because they've never even written by hand.
Yeah, because
even
their
in high school,
in their teeth.
Yeah, like they, you know, typed on their computers for all their assignments. But yeah, I don't know what the solution is. Some like universities are arguing like AI is so pervasive in the real world that it's like unrealistic to like ban it from universities. Like, it should be used as a tool, all this stuff. Which, like, yes, I agree.
I don't agree with that at all.
But also, like, another point made in this article is that now if you don't use AI, it's, like, a disadvantage because, like, if your writing skills are not there, you're going to get a bad mark. Whereas, like, even if you use AI, like, at least writes it decently. Like, I was doing hiring this week, and everyone who has submitted a written thing for our hiring process mm-hmm. has used AI.
It's all full of
M-dashes. But I'm like, the AI, like, at least writes it, like, competently, and I don't really know which ones are AI and which ones are just, like, someone is good at, like, writing.
You just don't have the resources
to
parse
and I don't
that.
Know how to check. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, if you're not using AI now, it seems like you're a moron, you know? So mm-hmm. it's just, anyway, I don't know what the solution is, but I just found it hilarious that they think...
I think the solution is either butlerian jihad or we get rid of secondary education.
No, I think you have to teach people how to write in elementary school. Like, we need to hold the pencils again. And you need to teach the reading and writing in high school. And then you need to make people do written exams. Like,
yeah.
Anywho, I don't feel like a written exam should be so crazy difficult. Like, even if it's not all your exams, like, have a few. Like, it's a skill to be able to... write something under pressure based on a question you're reading for the first time, you know? And, like, formulate an essay in response to the question.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, that's my rant.
I'm into it.
I know all everyone talks about is AI and it's getting so boring and annoying, but, you know, our world is changing.
Our world is getting more boring and annoying by the second.
That's true. Okay, what do we have up next?
Up next, folks, we've got brand new The Weather Station. This is Looks Just Like the Sun.
Well, it looks just
Hello, folks, and welcome back to your Indie Wake Up Call here on CFRC 101.9 FM. What did we just hear?
We just heard Carousel Horses by Christian Lee Hudson. Before that, Life is Suffering by Deerhoof. And at the top, Looks Just Like the Sun by The Weather Station.
A brand spanker.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. We watched a non-brand spanker movie, yes, which was Ready Player One.
We dusted off the old Stevie Spielberg 2018
something
film?
Like that.
Something like that.
It's not good. It's not good.
Truly horrible. No. I don't know what kind of like milk toast loser.
It was like hard to watch. It was
like the
so
main
bad.
Guy. I was like, I still don't know who that is or who.
He's in movies. But
we had Olivia Cole
Cook,
not Coleman, was our female lead. So Ready Player One. It's this like dystopian future where like essentially
everyone just lives in VR because the real world sucks.
Everyone lives in Kevin Smith's head, not Spacey. but it's all like we are all beholden to this like weird virtual reality game called The Oasis that was created by this complete dork loser who is just obsessed with, like, Atari and John Hughes films.
Yeah.
And, in order to, like, win the Willy Wonka-style competition to become the sole proprietor of this Oasis VR realm, which seems to control, like, the vast majority of the world economy at this point.
Yeah.
You have to solve these riddles three about all of this guy's favorite media and various relationshipal kertwangs.
Yeah, it's like watching the most famous movies and listening to the most famous bands of all time is like subversive. Like,
yes.
What?
Well, yeah, no, it's like the problem with our society is that it's controlled by these corporations who don't respect the IP the way that the fans do.
Yeah, it was like actually
if we had someone in the room who like knew Spider-Man's niece's like maiden name,
yeah,
then finally we could get some real work done.
And I get it. Like, there is some argument to be made about how like capitalism destroys all the things you love, etc. And like people do put, you know, like their heart and soul into this art, and then it is commercialized. But like, just the idea that like the today's corporate America does not care about franchises. Like, what? That's all they care about. Like, literally, what are we talking about?
It's incredible. Like, I think it's especially insidious is that, like, this idea of like, oh, these like franchises and these IP have to be respected and like, you know, like they belong to the fans, because that's sort of like the only realm of imagination. Like, there's no like actual creation happening. There's like,
yeah, not even like remix culture. Honestly,
it's just people in an Iron Giant skin or in a Tracer skin.
Yeah,
and like you can just like pretend to be this, you know, corporate IP. Like, that's the thing, is that it's not like these things are being commercialized. It's that the entire culture that like is so important to this story is exclusively commercial dreck from the 80s, from like the Reagan era.
I know. That's what kills me too, is just that it's like all stuff that like, it's a children's movie. And I genuinely think that like, obviously there's some timeless children's media from the 80s, but there's also things that I think that like a child watching in 2018 would have been like, what is this? I don't care. Whereas like a 60-year-old would have been like hooting and hollering or what. I don't know. It was just, it was not good.
Nothing is new. Nothing can change. We just have to like live in our parents' childhoods for the rest of our lives. And also, Miss Cook is ugly because she has a birthmark.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That's like literally, you know, it's kind of a funny story where Emma Roberts plays like one of the main characters who's supposed to like mangle her face with scissors. And then in the movie, they have like her do like one literal like tiny nick on her cheek. And they're like, I'm so hideous. That was this movie. And Olivia Cook's like, don't look at me. And she has like one birthmark. Okay. She's like one of the most beautiful women. Like, it's just, anywho.
Yeah,
well, I'm just a House of the Dragon stan. I'm sorry. I love Olivia Cooke. Yeah. But
is Ready Player One Steven Spielberg's sort of like lament for like this world that he created? Or is it his end zone dance and him like sort of rubbing our face in the world that he created that we have to live in now? Yeah. Unclear.
It was just so cringy, man. West Side Story was good, though.
Yeah.
So
this is true.
Steven Spielberg, he has
hard to say if he's good or bad.
Hits and some misses, you know.
Steven Spielberg, folks, check him out.
Yeah.
He might have a movie you like. Up next, folks, we've got Water from Your Eyes. This is a brand new song. It's called Life Signs. Here we go.